The UN warns of violence reaching boiling points between Israelis and Palestinians. More than 200 Palestinians and at least 25 Israelis have been killed since the start of the year. What's behind it all, and where will this lead to next? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Derin Avogado. 2022 is already the deadliest year for Palestinians in the occupied territory in 16 years. The health ministry says Israeli forces have killed more than 200 Palestinians since January. Now, the latest victims were killed during a raid on a refugee camp in Jenin in the occupied West Bank on Thursday. The two men were members of the Al-Quds Brigade. That's the military wing of the Islamic Jihad movement. Israel says its troops came under attack first. And recent killings have triggered general strikes in Ramallah, and Palestinian reprisal attacks have killed at least 25 Israelis since January. Although some of the violence occurred in Gaza, most has been in the occupied West Bank, particularly in the past 2 weeks. So on Tuesday, Israeli forces killed 5 Palestinians in separate incidents. Last week, 2 Israelis were killed and more than a dozen injured in coordinated bomb attacks on the outskirts of Jerusalem. So far, no one has claimed responsibility. The explosions took place hours after Israeli forces shot dead a 16-year-old boy. Israeli gunfire killed another 2 Palestinians on the same day. Well, the UN special coordinator says the conflict has reached a boiling point.
Mr. President, after decades of persistent violence, illegal settlement expansion, dormant negotiation, and deepening occupation, the conflict is again reaching a boiling point. High level of violence in the occupied West Bank and Israel in recent months, including attacks against Israeli and Palestinian civilians, increased use of arms and settler-related violence have caused grave human suffering.
Let's now bring in our guest. Joining us from Tel Aviv is Akiva Eldar, who's a contributor to the Israeli daily Haaretz. From Ramallah, Nour Odeh, a political analyst and founding member of Palestine's Democratic National Assembly. And from London, Bill Law is the editor of Arab Digest and director of the Gulf Matters Consultancy. Welcome to you all. Thanks so much for your time with us on Inside Story. Akiva Eldar, in Tel Aviv, Israeli military raids have long been a regular occurrence in the occupied West Bank that lead to injuries of Palestinians and killings of unarmed Palestinians. But would you say that there is now an uptick of these raids? And if so, why?
Well, I'm afraid that what we are witnessing now is a promo of what will happen once, I still hope, it's if Netanyahu will form the most zealous government that we have experienced, since in the last 74 years since the establishment of the State of Israel. If the outgoing government headed by Prime Minister Yair Lapid was at least literally committed to the two-state solution and both to democracy and Jewish values, and now this is a government that sees the democracy as a tool to establish a full-fledged Jewish state. This is a government that is formed by a prime minister who will still have to spend some time in court and be asked very serious questions by the judges and the public opinion. And members of the Kahana racist party that believe in Jewish supremacy. So I'm afraid that we haven't seen the anticlimax. I really hope that the international community will have something to say. According to Haaretz newspaper today, the American administration made it clear to Israel that annexation and escalation will deteriorate the U.S.-Israeli strategic relations.
Okay, Noor Oda, let's bring you in. So Akiva has added the political dimension to all of this. Do people in Ramallah fear that things are going to get indeed much worse with the new government in Israel, the most right-wing in its history, in fact?
Well, it's not a matter of fear. It's a matter of certainty. We know that when this government takes office, it will be more hostile, more racist, more brutal towards the Palestinians, because that's the agenda it was elected to implement. And that's the ideology that it espouses. So an expectation of an escalation in what is already a daily brutal reality of occupation and colonization every Palestinian is on that page. But I think the elephant in the room here is what Akiva alluded to, which is the so-called international community, which has allowed this situation to continue. It has allowed it to reach where we're at now, because it has allowed Israel to get away with all of these actions, with all of these acts of aggression, with entrenching the colonial occupation, while trying to manage the occupation and the Palestinians and ensure that the only thing they do is to be subservient to the occupation, criminalizing any form of resistance, criminalizing any form of dissent, for that matter. We have countries that have gone as far as considering the Palestinian flag and kufiyeh symbols of incitement. That's how far this international community has gone to try and mute the Palestinian voices and their narrative.
Right. Bilal, if you listen to the Israeli narrative, however, they say there has been an unprecedented escalation in attacks on Israeli troops and settlers. I mean, and over in West Jerusalem, in fact, just a few weeks ago, there was a bus bombing, as I'm sure you're aware, which that type of bombing hadn't taken place for a very long time.
Well, yeah, there is an uptick of violence, but as has already been noted, the violence is very much coming from the Israeli side. And I think that one of the concerns, excuse me, one of the concerns that I have is the extent to which these young settler thugs are harassing, beating, abusing Palestinians. I mean, there was a situation a couple of days ago where an Arab reporter was surrounded by these young thugs who were chanting, "Death to the Arabs, death to the Arabs," and trying to, and effectively blocking her efforts to do her presentation. So it is no surprise, as Noura said, that and Akiva, that this is happening. What I think is very concerning is that you have this strong, strong movement of young settlers, which the basically the government in waiting, Netanyahu, is weaponizing and threatening, intimidating, and really abusing the Palestinian population in ways that we haven't seen for some time. So, of course, there is violence on the other side. This is to be expected. When you apply repression as severely as the Israelis are doing via the IDF, then you are going to get, unfortunately and very sadly, some violence coming from the Palestinian side.
And Bill, do you agree with what Noor had to say a moment ago, which was that it is almost certain that this is going to get worse under the new upcoming government in Israel?
Yes, I do. I do very much. And she touched on something that's very important, which is that, you know, Western democracies are simply standing by and letting this happen without even a modicum of concern. So, yes, I fear that it will inevitably become worse and that the Palestinians will suffer even more abuse than that which they're already experiencing.
We will get on the issue of the international community in a moment, but first, Noor Oda, let me ask you what the Palestinian Authority spokesperson had to say, the spokesperson of the president, that is. He said that the daily killings of Palestinians is, quote, a declaration of war, yet at the same time, you have the Palestinian Authority, which continues its security coordination with Israel. How is this explained?
Well, I can't, you know, I'm sorry, but to answer your question, I'm going to have to go back to the international community, because these are the rules imposed by the world on the Palestinian political system. This is not to excuse the shortcomings of the Palestinian Authority, which are many. But as far as security coordination or so-called security coordination, this is a requirement imposed by international actors, by so-called Western democracies, to allow for the continued operation of the Palestinian Authority. These are the rules of the game set over, you know, since the signing of the interim agreements with Israel in 1993. The world expects the Palestinians to ensure that Israelis, their occupier, are protected. It is a bizarre, illogical, ahistorical arrangement that has been imposed on the Palestinian people that creates a lot of internal tension in the Palestinian society, but it is, again, imposed by the outside world. When the situation is in reverse, when we're talking about ensuring Palestinian civilian security, there is no comparable international position. The Israeli occupation authorities and security apparatuses do not make any kind of effort to ensure the protection of civilians, for example, from Israeli settler attacks, which is their obligation under international law. But you don't see any international actor, any country, pushing Israel, pressuring Israel to do its minimum obligation in that sense. So we go back to that equation that has been imposed on the Palestinians, whereby they're expected to act nice, to be an occupied people unlike any other, to not resist, to not oppose occupation, and to even facilitate or cooperate with their occupier in exchange for what? For increased settlement activity, for the highest number of home demolitions in the past 15 years in the West Bank, the highest number of Palestinians and Palestinian children killed in the past 15 years this year alone. That's why this equation is not just broken, but it's untenable. And what we're seeing on the ground is a very honest expression of where Palestinians stand. They are simply fed up with this sour deal that is shoved down their throat.
Right. And Akiva, when statements such as this one come out of the U.S., the U.S. Assistant Secretary for Near Eastern Affairs, Barbara Leaf, said this back in September, that the Biden administration is working to ensure the continuation of security cooperation between Israel and the Palestinian Authority, and that it wants to ensure to the greatest degree that cooperation is robust and continuing. I mean, what's your reaction to such statements? Are they helpful at all?
Oh, well, I don't think that they are going to last very long, since if things will go on the way to the same direction that they've been going on, actually, I must say, in the last year, even under the so-called left-center government, we were experiencing more fatalities than during the Netanyahu's tenure. So I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, and I cannot even see a tunnel because the American facilitators have disappeared. The international community, the Europeans, are busy now with Hungary, with Ukraine, and they're not very eager to step into this mud again. But the good news is maybe it has to get worse before it gets better. This government is going to remove its own democratic mask by challenging the independence of the Supreme Court, which has great international reputation, and Israel could hide behind the argument that Israel is respecting the international law and the Israeli law, and international community is going to see a very different Israel. Even the outgoing prime minister, Lapid, called for public rebellion against what Netanyahu's colleagues are now asking for is actually a halakha, a Talmud state, they are challenging the Israeli majority that are not Orthodox. They are also challenging the majority of the American Jewish community, which is basically reform or conservative, not Orthodox. So Israel is going to lose its power, not only in the administration, but also in the Congress, in the Jewish community, and the American public opinion. Even the Israeli left, which lost months ago in the elections, is waking up. This is a wake-up call. This is one too much what Netanyahu is doing now with inviting racists into his government and making Israelis being ashamed of their country, being ashamed of their passports. And now I see Israeli reporters are complaining that they are not welcomed by Arabs in the Doha, in the World Cup matches, because what can you say?
Right.
The Arab people are not very happy with the Israeli occupation.
Bill, just comment on what Akiva had to say. I mean, do you think that Israel in the long run might lose out politically in terms of international support as well as domestic support?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think that in the court of public opinion, Israel is starting to lose that particular battle. Because of social media, we see these very disturbing images that are appearing on a daily basis. I'm thinking of the school that was demolished, the IDF escorting out young primary age children, and then their school being demolished. Now, these images are shocking, I think, and disturbing. So in that regard, yes, Israel is losing some of the gloss that it has had. I think the question of Israel presenting itself as the only democracy in the region is increasingly tawdry and tired. However, the political situation remains, the reality remains that Western governments continue to stand toe-to-toe with the Israeli government, continue not to call out the disturbing treatment and the increasingly violent behavior of the IDF, how they stand by and watch, for example, Hebron, where people were being, Arabs were being attacked by settlers. The IDF stood by and watched, where an IDF soldier assaulted a Israeli peace protester, where just today the IDF declared Hebron a military, excluded military zone, preventing peace protesters from coming to Hebron to show support for the Palestinians. I think that we have a real problem here. I think the problem is within Israel. I think the problem is with Western governments. I think it's going to be a long time before Israel wakes up, but also I think before the Western governments wake up. And that's very sad because, once again, it's the Palestinian people who pay the price for our silence and our negligence.
Right, so they're paying the price, Noor, and as we're saying, Palestinians are divided, there's no leadership, largely abandoned by the international community. So what you're seeing and hearing on the ground in Ramallah and other occupied territories, are Palestinians taking matters into their own hands? And going forward, are we seeing a resurgence of the resistance to the occupation?
Well, Darin, the Palestinian people have been resisting occupation
right.
for over 7 decades. That has not stopped. And the fact that we saw...
I
we
suppose,
see
let me just rephrase that then. I'm talking about more resistance in the sense that will we be seeing organized resistance like the First Intifada, for example?
No, I don't think that we will see something similar to the First Intifada. The First Intifada had a unified political leadership, and it came in a very different political context. I think what you see now is far more dangerous because of all the things that we talked about, the international component, the Palestinian division, the audacity and the ferocity of Israeli settler organizations and extreme racist groups that literally go out in the streets and hunt down Palestinians in occupied East Jerusalem and even inside Israel proper. So we're, you know, it's a different ball game. It's the same relationship between occupied and occupier, if you will. But I do think that what Palestinians can count on and should be working on right now, in addition to restoring and repairing their own political entity by uniting, is working on Europe. Through solidarity groups in European capitals. These governments in Europe must be held accountable by their own constituents. They must be held accountable for their double standards, for their hypocrisy, really, in terms of their positions towards Israel. They cannot apply different standards. And if they choose to continue to talk about championing international law and human rights, then they must hold Israel accountable for its actions. They must treat the incoming government the way they would treat any other racist, homophobic government that they have special and strategic relations with. This government should be boycotted by Europe and others if they really want to continue having any kind of integrity or credibility regarding where they stand on international law and human rights. And Palestinians will continue to do what they've done for seven decades, resist occupation in different ways and different manners. And now they have the added burden of trying to recover their polity from a broken, old group of old men who seem to be so entrenched in their position and divided that they've left us with their with our backs bare, really, right, to this occupation.
Akiva Eldar, if we just kind of take a broader picture here and put it into context, how far are Palestinians and Israelis today from a political solution?
The platform of the new government is very clear about it. They believe in annexation of Area C, which covers 60% of the West Bank. They will resist any negotiations, not let alone with Hamas. And this is something that I would like to see on the Palestinian side. If I was a Palestinian, I would like to see some kind of coexistence, if not alliance between all Palestinian forces. But as an Israeli, who am I to give the Palestinians advice? But yes, I can see the international community now asking clear questions to the Israelis, like they asked the South African, what do you want? Do you want an apartheid regime? Do you want a criminal in the leading position? Or, as you say, Israel for many years claimed that it's the only democracy in the Middle East. Is it so? I'm afraid that the current prime minister, the current members of the cabinet, will have a hard time answering this kind of questions.
Bill Law, there were reports that there were some members of the Biden administration who were concerned about new members of this right-wing government in Israel. Do you think at all that we'll get to a point where the Americans will perhaps disengage from certain members of the Israeli government over their right-wing views and policies? And if so, what impact will that have?
Yeah, I wish I could say yes, but I don't think that will happen. These particular Smotrich and Ben-Gavir coming in, as Akiva said, racists. Their hatred for Arabs is appalling, and they should be denounced in Washington. They should be denounced here in London. They're not being. The silence is very, very worrying. There may be, certainly there will be, people within the Democrat Party that will speak up, but will Joe Biden pay that much heed? I fear not.
Okay.
Will the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, pay them much heed? No, I don't think so.
We'll have to leave it there on that note. Thank you so much for joining us, Akiva Eldar, Noor Ode, and Bill Law. Thanks so much. Thanks for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. You can have further discussion by going to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJ Inside Story. You can join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is AJ Inside Story. From myself and the whole team here in Doha, thanks for watching. Bye-bye for now.